Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's today for a very festival Sunday where we get to rededicate our refurbished building to God's glory. But more so than celebrating the physical building, we celebrate what happens here. Jesus comes to us here, and Jesus loves us and receives us and forgives us here. Look forward to sharing those thoughts with you as part of the service and also during the sermon. We have a reason to celebrate this morning, too, as we will start with the baptism. So there are special directions for you on the very first page of the worship booklet that after the opening hymn, we'll give our attention to page 12 in the front part of the red hymnal. Then we also get to celebrate as we have two adult confirmations and welcome some transfer members. Lots to praise and thank our God for this morning. To help us do so, we'll follow the order of worship printed for you completely in the worship booklet. Now is a good time to get the attention of the ushers if you don't have one. And also, throughout the service, you'll find there are little notes that tell you where portions of the service came from. A lot of the portions of worship today were from the original dedication service when this building was first dedicated to God's glory and to use in His kingdom. So there's a neat connection for you there as well. Welcome to our worship guests. It's nice to see you. I know there's some family in town, and it was great to meet you, and I look forward to visiting with you after the service, too. With those announcements, let us worship our God. We do so with our opening hymn, hymn 528. Service continues with the order of holy baptism on page 12 in the front part of your hymnals. You may remain seated for the opening of worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism. From our parents, we inherit a sinful nature. We are without true fear of God and true faith in God and are condemned to eternal death. But Jesus took away our sin by giving his life on the cross. At our baptisms, he clothes us with the robe of his righteousness and gives us a new life. Our sinful nature need not control us any longer. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we speak these words. Baptism means that the sinful nature in us should be drowned by daily sorrow and repentance, and that all its evil deeds and desires be put to death. It also means that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. As baptized children of God, we confess our sin. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Tommy, by the power of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit has led you to believe that this new life in holy baptism is yours in Christ. Now, in holy baptism, the Lord Jesus assures you of your salvation. That you may make a public testimony of your faith, I therefore ask you, do you believe that you were born in sin and therefore eternally lost? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that this triune God planned and carried out your salvation? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe that God grants you the forgiveness of sins in holy baptism? If so, answer, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Do you desire to be baptized?
Yes, I do.
Receive the sign of the cross upon your head and your heart to mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Tommy Privett, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all of your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made into your child through Father in heaven. May God give you strength to live in this baptismal grace all the days of your life. May God be with you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in me will never walk in darkness. Light this candle again and again on the anniversary of this day to remind you of the great things God has given you. The new life, forgiveness of sins, and eternal salvation he shares with you through holy baptism. Please stand. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially you witnesses today, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Tommy may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray.
Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptisms as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our lives. Look with special favor on Tommy and grant him a rich measure of your Spirit, that he may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Congregation may remain standing. Our worship continues with the two hymn stanzas on the top of page 5.
Let us pray. Most High God, whom the heavens cannot contain, we give you thanks for the gifts of those who have built and refreshed this house of prayer to your glory. We praise you for the fellowship of those who by their use will make it holy. We pray that all who seek you here may find you and be filled with your joy and peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Give our attention to the Word of God. The first lesson is printed on page 6 in your worship booklet. First lesson is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 8. Here, King Solomon is praying that God would bless the building that he had the privilege of building, that God would bless that building by putting his name in that building, keeping the promises to his people he made, and when his people come to him, to love them and to forgive them. May God do the same for us as we rededicate this building to him. Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the whole assembly of Israel, spread out his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below, you who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in your way. You have kept your promise to your servant David, my father. With your mouth you have promised, and with your hand you have fulfilled it, as it is today. Now, Lord, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, the promises you made to him when you said, You shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk before me as you have done. And now, O God of Israel, let your word that you promised your servant David, my father, come true. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Yet give attention to your servant's prayer and his plea for mercy, O Lord, my God. Hear the cry and the prayer that your servant is praying in your presence this day. May your eyes be open toward this temple night and day, this place of which you said, My name shall be there, so that your servant and all your people Israel, when they pray toward this place, so that you will hear the prayer of your servant praise toward this place. Hear the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. This is the word of the Lord. Peter chapter 2. This lesson will be the basis for my sermon today. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay a stone in Zion,
a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes men fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
This is the word of the Lord.
The church shall never perish.
Jesus reminds us what truly matters, that we worship our God in spirit and in truth. On top of the privilege to do so, he has also graced us with this beautiful building. Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth."
This is the gospel of our Lord.
Following the anthem by the choir, we will sing together to join together to sing the hymn of the day, hymn 532. It's an anthem by our men's quartet. Then we will join in the hymn of the day.
Spires in every love still chosen.
Were we but to his making true.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours today because Jesus, your living stone, is faithful and keeps his promises. So do you think an arrow, a venti bold coffee, or a slightly used baby diaper would do more to mar this day, rob us of our joy, and rob this building of its beauty? When we were on choir tour up in Alaska, we sang in a brand new church. And I don't know if it's a true story. I'm assuming it's a true story because the pastor told us this story, that on the day they dedicated their brand new worship facility, the pastor took out his hunting bow and he notched an arrow and he drew it back and he shot it right into the brand new wall of their brand new church. And he said, okay, now that we got that out of the way, can we use our building? Or what if we would take these pews on a little baptism by coffee? And we take the whole venti coffee and we pour it down one of the pews. Now, from what I understand, the pews could take it. But let's say that they couldn't and the pew was stained. Would that ruin it? Would that wreck it? Would the beauty of our building be lost? Or baptism by baby. We line up all of our babies and we let them walk up and down the pews on the carpet with no diapers and let them do whatever it is babies are going to do. Would that rob this day and this building of its beauty? It's kind of an interesting thought, but I would argue that this building has always been and always will be beautiful. Even before the thousands of dollars and countless man hours and gallons of paint and sealer and stain went into this, wasn't this a beautiful building, even from the very first day that it was built? Coffee stains could not take away that beauty. Pink walls and fluorescent lights could not take away from the beauty of this building. There were sewer backups, there were balcony break-ins, but none of that robbed this place of its beauty. And I promise you that there will be no arrows shot anywhere, there will be no coffee intentionally spilled, and there will definitely be no baby parade, because we are going to try and do our best to preserve and to protect the beauty of this building. But this building is going to be beautiful despite our efforts to keep it physically beauty, because the stone is what makes this building beautiful. And the stone is beautiful because it's what keeps the stones beautiful. And this building is beautiful because of what the stone does through the stones. So exactly what kind of stones are we talking about? If you looked around, there are a lot of new stones in our building now. There are quartz countertops in the back, and they are beautiful. They kind of wrap everything together and complete the whole project. If you look down at the floors, you'll see that there are some new pebbles here and there because they replaced some of the gouges and some of the cracks. And it's been sealed and polished, and it looks great too. There's brand new stones, one on the lectern, one on the pulpit, one on the altar, intended to draw your attention to the altar, which draws our attention to the stone altars of the Old Testament, which reminds us of sacrifices, pointing us to the cross on which Jesus sacrificed himself. This is the stone that Peter is talking about. In verse 4, he is talking about the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone." It's the stone that makes this building and everything that happens in this building beautiful. Hand-picked, hand-selected by God. Rejected by some, yes, but precious and priceless to God. This stone is precious and priceless to God because God needed someone to come and do and be what only this stone, what only Jesus could come and do and be. God needed someone to come into this world and be perfect, flawless in every way. And only Jesus was that. God needed someone to come into this world and pay a price, a huge price, to pay a huge debt of sin, the sin of all people of all times, and only Jesus could do that. And he came into this world, sacrificed himself, and did that. That's what makes Jesus a beautiful stone. Only he could do what was expected of him, and he did. And the whole time he was being scrutinized, the whole time the most authoritative power of all times, God himself, watched his every move. Under his watchful eye, Jesus lived his life and died his death. Jesus was field tested. He was tested and tempted and came out the other side, the genuine, real thing. That's what makes Jesus, the stone, precious and beautiful. Who he is and what he's done for you. Let's look at it this way too. Let's say that you are in possession of two stones. One is a perfectly cut, flawless, beautifully colored diamond, and the other is a perfectly cut, flawless, with all the right angles, cornerstone for a building. I seriously doubt that you would take the diamond that you have and that you would read up on stone cutting and find a way to change this diamond so that it looks more like, well, all the other diamonds that are out there. I don't even think you would take it to a certified gemologist to do that for you. I certainly don't think you would find some sort of chemist who could find a way to mess with your perfectly colored diamond to maybe make it a little cloudy or a little uglier, maybe a little more yellow, so that it would be like all the other diamonds out there. You would find a way to keep it pure and flawless and perfect. You would guard it and keep it safe. Same thing with your cornerstone. Let's say that you were in business in Jesus' day and you were a builder, and maybe you contracted with Jesus' dad, Joseph. You would do the foundation work. Joseph would come in and do the carpentry work. And you guys won every bid, hands down, because you had the perfect, flawless cornerstone that you used as a template, which meant that every other building you built was based off that template, and it had a perfect cornerstone, perfect lines, perfect angles, and people appreciated your workmanship, and you could outbid everyone. I doubt that at the end of the day, you take your cornerstone and you pitch it in the back of the cart, and as it's being pulled along the road, it's bounced up and down so that all the sides are worn off and all the corners are rubbed down and all the angles get messed up. You keep something like that safe because it's one of a kind. It's priceless. It's valuable. But let's say, for example, you couldn't help yourself and you cut away at your diamond. You added a few inclusions in there and the color was kind of yucky now. And you did the same thing with your cornerstone. And so you went to the National Gem and Mineral Show because you said, I have the world's perfect, a flawless diamond. And experts from all over the world are coming to see what you have, and then you unveil your diamond that you have messed with, that you, in a sense, have ruined. They're going to laugh you out of the stage, out of the auditorium. And you think anybody's going to want to come and see this worthless rock anymore? Absolutely not. You've taken away its beauty. It's not precious anymore. It looks like every other diamond. And then your buddy's over at the building show, and he is ready to unveil and to share the cornerstone. And he too has made his improvements, remember, rounded off the corners, changed all the angles, and everybody comes to see it and they say, what a piece of junk. Nobody's going to want to buy that from you. You're not going to be able to sell that patent. And do you think you're going to get another job? Do you think you're going to win the next bid? No, you've ruined it. You've trashed what was perfect. Those two examples are absurd, and nobody would think of doing that. Nobody would think of doing that to those stones, but when it comes to the stone, Jesus, people struggle with keeping him pure. Sometimes even in the name of avoiding what Peter was talking about, but those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. Maybe in favor of a little less rejection of Jesus, just file him down here, round off this corner, you know, make him look a little bit more like everybody, everything else out there. A stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Maybe in the interest of avoiding some of that, well, we don't want to offend anybody with Jesus, so if you change him a little bit, then he's a little easier to handle, and then that would make it easier for us to to talk about too, and then that would make our ministry go a little bit better, and then we could start crossing off some boxes because, wow, look at all the energy and excitement that we have. Can you imagine showing up at Jesus' doorstep after you've done that to him? And can you imagine the people that we've been ministering to, that we have now changed Jesus and they don't have the precious cornerstone anymore? They have what everybody else has. God is not going to kick us out of an auditorium. Those people that come with us, they're not going to lose a bid. Jesus isn't going to make fun of anybody. He will calmly say, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And you could argue, what? Isn't our new stone beautiful? Isn't it just what everybody's looking for, what everybody wants? Everybody at St. Mark's is really happy now because of the new stone that we have. But you do not have the true and precious cornerstone. You do not have his beauty. You do not have the life he lived for you. You do not have the death he died for you. You do not have the price he paid for you anymore, because he was given up for what everybody else has, for what you wanted him to be, for what somebody else wanted him to be. Peter said, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind." That's how Peter describes people who do not have Jesus. All of us are born like that. We do not have Jesus when we're born. Rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander and every kind. What business do people like that, stones like that, have being built into God's perfect building? Those kind of rocks, those kind of stones, they don't fit because they're not perfect and they're not holy. Stones like that deserve to be tossed aside, maybe out into the gravel pit, heading for the rock crusher. Diamonds that are less than perfect, flawless, they do not belong in God's kingdom either. They deserve to be tossed aside. Maybe pawned off by some huckster who can convince his girlfriend, "Oh no, this is real, this is even better, this is the best." But in the end, those kind of diamonds, they're heading for the industrial yard. They're not fit for the house of God anymore either. However, the stone that makes this house beautiful is also the stone that makes you beautiful. Peter was talking at the end of chapter 1, and then he builds on that into the lesson that we have for today. At the end of chapter 1, Peter wrote, "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you can grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." Isn't that much easier than pretending you have nothing to confess to God? Isn't that much easier than pretending that you can hide, whether it's your malice or your envy or your hypocrisy or your slander? Give it all to Jesus, the holy, precious cornerstone. And listen to him say, "Do you remember what I've done with all of your sin?" And then you can follow the words along the sanctuary. This is what God did. God loved you so much that he sent his son for you. And then those words direct you to the cross, where Jesus reminds you that's where your malice is. That's where your deceit is. That's where your hypocrisy and slander and envy is. And here's the result. You are not going to perish. You have eternal life. And if you're anything like me, and probably like the person sitting next to you, you say, okay, so that's true, but you know what I brought to church with me today? You know what's troubling my conscience today? It's not on this list. I'm not struggling with this today. And this probably isn't the way that Jesus would say it to you, but this is a good way of thinking about it. Do you think that you have perfected the art of sinning? And do you think that you have sinned such a big sin that somehow Jesus couldn't possibly see your sin coming? And when he lived a perfect life on this earth, he missed out on being perfect for you? Or do you think that your sin is such a big sin and your guilt is so much that, again, you caught Jesus off guard, and when he died for the sins of the world, that somehow your sin wasn't covered? Jesus, your cornerstone, makes you beautiful because he was beautiful for you. And he died to pay for all of your sins. That is why you and I belong in this spiritual house that is built on Christ. Because the stone makes the stones beautiful and keeps us beautiful. Just listen to all the present realities that Peter shares with you today. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you can grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You have been rescued by God. You are brand new, born again babies in Jesus. That's God's promise to you. Scripture says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. You are never going to be turned away. You are never going to be denied. You are never going to be mocked and made fool of when you approach God's throne, much like you did at the Gem and Mineral Show. Because when you approach God's throne, you don't change the cornerstone. He makes you beautiful. So when you call out to God in prayer, he's going to hear you. You're not going to be ashamed. When you call out to God for forgiveness, and maybe Peter nailed it, maybe you are struggling with malice or deceit, envy, hypocrisy, Jesus has taken it away. You're not going to have to deal with it when you're standing at God's front door. And maybe it's not on the list, but Jesus has made you beautiful because he died for that sin too, for all of your sin. The beauty of this building is that in this building, the stone makes his stones beautiful. Now, to you who believe this stone is precious, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That's reality. There were no maybes. They were not hopefully. There are no you might get there someday. These are the realities of who you are in Jesus, because the stone has made you beautiful and keeps you beautiful. And so, let's keep this building beautiful. Yes, by maintaining it as we have in the past, updating it if we need to, fixing it when we need to, keeping the coffee stains and the baby stains and all the other stains we can control out, maybe. But let's keep it beautiful by keeping the stone beautiful, which will keep the stones beautiful, which will mean beautiful things are going to happen. We are reminded of the beautiful things that happen here every time we gather for worship. When we come in here, we throw our sins on Jesus, and Jesus, through your pastor, says, I love you, I forgive you. And then we leave his empowered, confident children. And if you stop and think, isn't that one of the best ways that children can give glory to their parents? Is by taking the instruction that they're given as they're growing up. Maybe they learn from their parents' examples. They actually do what they say. They go out and they become successful. And in a way, those of you who have a lot more parenting experience than I, doesn't that make you proud? And doesn't that, in a way, give glory to you? And every time we leave this building, we're going to be remembered of what the beautiful things are that God wants us to be about, glorifying him in everything we do. And doesn't that mean that sometimes kids are going to goof off and kids are going to mess up? But hopefully, if you've done it right, they're going to listen to some correction, they're going to accept some discipline, and they're going to go out next time and they're not going to do the same thing, or at least they'll try. Doesn't that give glory to God when you and I do that too? When we come here and we are filled up and we are fed, and then we go out, and when we fail our God, we come right back and ask him to forgive us, and he builds us up again, assures us our sins are forgiven, and then we get to go out and give more glory to God. This is a beautiful house because this is where we grow in God's grace. And the more we grow in God's grace, the more we are going to go. Peter says, not optional. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And when we worship, aren't we doing that, declaring his praises, going with the gospel? When someone comes into God's house here, maybe they don't have a strong relationship with Jesus. Maybe they have no relationship with Jesus. And maybe it's just going to be as simple as they read on the wall that God loves me. And then they'll hear in a sermon that Jesus died for me. And then they'll go home knowing that I have eternal life. We just went with the gospel. That's what makes this building beautiful. And when we teach our kids, when we have Sunday school or VBS, or maybe they hear about Jesus in our Lutheran elementary school, we just went with the gospel. We just declared his praises. God just did a beautiful thing through you as you declared his praises. And when you have those frustrating conversations because, boy, I'm just not getting through to Grandma. Grandma just won't listen when I talk about Jesus. Or maybe it's your neighbor and he's having a hard time even wanting to hear it anymore. But you never know. You never know how the Holy Spirit is working on your friend, working on your neighbor, working on your relative, but you went with the gospel. It's a beautiful thing that happens to you, or happens through you, because the stone has made you beautiful, and through you is doing beautiful things. So we dedicate this building to God today. We promise him we're going to take great care of it. But above all, we praise and thank God for the reason why this building is beautiful. Because the stone, Jesus, makes it beautiful. Jesus promises to keep you and me beautiful through word and sacrament, as he has for over 50 years. Trust in God's promises. Trust in your perfect, flawless cornerstone. And then enjoy bringing glory to God as he does beautiful things through you, his living stones. Amen. Please stand. Our confession of faith today, this morning, is the responsive confession of faith on page 9 in the worship booklet. In this building, we will keep the Lord's Sabbath and hallow the Lord's name. Therefore, we confess Luther's explanations to the third commandment and the first petition. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean?
We should fear God, that we do not despise the teaching and his word, but regard it as holy, and have that fear and reverence.
Hallowed be thy name. What does this mean?
God's name is certainly holy by itself.
How is God's name kept holy?
God's name is kept holy when his word is taught in his truth and purity. And we as children of God, we hold holy lives according to it. Help us to do this, your Father in heaven. But whoever teaches and lives contrary to God's word dishonors God's name among us. Keep us from doing this.
One of the beautiful things we get to do is respond to God's love for us in the form of an offering. We'll collect the offering at this time. Please be seated. At this time, our service will continue with our adult confirmations and reception of new members and our transfers into membership. So I invite you to come forward at this time. Dear Tim and Tommy, our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In obedience to the Lord's command, you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by his grace and what he expects of you as his dear child. You now have the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are here to make a public profession of your Christian faith. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge that in baptism God gave you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? If so, answer, I do. Do you reject the devil along with all his lies and empty promises? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe all the books of the Bible to be the inspired word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from our Bible information instruction, is faithful and true to the Word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is right for us, dear friends in Christ, to call on him for these our new confirmants, that he would graciously complete the good work which he has begun in them. Therefore, let us now bow our heads and pray. Almighty God, in baptism you made these brothers members of the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. You washed them by his blood, buried them with him in his death, and gave them a new life in his resurrection. Renew them by the Holy Spirit, which you have poured out on them generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. Let them live out their lives as heirs of eternal life. Lead them to serve your church in holiness and righteousness all their days. Keep them in fellowship with all who wait for the return of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, these brothers and sisters before you today, having been baptized and instructed in the teachings of the Word of God, desire to become members of our congregation. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ promises to confess before his Father in heaven those who faithfully confess him on earth. You have come before this Christian congregation to declare your faith and to unite with us in Christian love and fellowship. Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, answer, I do. Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from Luther's Small Catechism, is faithful and true to the Word of God? If so, answer, I do. Do you intend to continue steadfast in the true Christian faith, be diligent in the use of God's Word and sacraments, and lead a godly life even to death? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me.
I do, and I ask God to help me.
Having heard your promises, we, the members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, receive you in fellowship and in love, and invite you to share in our worship and mission in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in joy and in the peace of the Lord. You're welcome. God bless you. God bless you, Jacob. God bless you and welcome. God bless you, Hannah. Mike, God bless you. Our worship continues with the singing of our next hymn, hymn 531. In our prayer of the church this morning, we have been asked to remember Jim Drennan. It is Terry Drennan's father. His father, Jim, is hospitalized in Mercy, San Juan. So we'll ask the Lord to be with him. Our prayer of the church for this morning is the responsive prayer of the church on page 10. Please stand. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Honor and strength are before him. Lord God, Heavenly Father, the unfailing giver of good gifts, we thank you that you enter into this house today with your word. We pray that you would continually dwell among us with your word and sacraments, so that by your grace we sinners may be turned to you and saved eternally. Amen.
Almighty everlasting God, you have joined together all believers into one spiritual temple in Christ. Look with favor on our church, which has been built to be a dwelling place for your glorious name and a workshop of your Holy Spirit, in which your people will be made wise for salvation and trained for useful service in your kingdom. Accept it, O Lord, as we rededicate these refurbished facilities to your glory, and bless our coming in and going out in the future as you have in the past. Prayers rise to your throne, O God and Father, through the intercession of Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bestow your blessing on this, our church, as we set it apart anew and rededicate it to the glory, honor, and worship of your holy name. Dear Jesus, we ask that you would intercede for us as we entrust Jim Drennan to your care. We ask that you bless him as thoughts of loneliness and despair and doubt easily creep into our minds, especially during times of difficulty and certainly during times of hospitalization. So be with Jim, bless him through Terry, his son, and his family. May they rally around you and your love and your promises. And if it is your will, bless his stay in the hospital, that he might be strengthened, and according to your good time and pleasure, return home with his family. At this time, we join together to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We, the members of St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, rededicate this building and all that is in it to the glory, honor, and worship of God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let this be and remain a place for the gathering of the people of God, a place for proclaiming the gospel through word and sacrament, a place for bringing life, comfort, and hope to us and to this community. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Thank you. Good morning again to everyone, and again a special welcome to our worship guests. We're pleased to have you in God's house. I enjoyed meeting you beforehand, and I look forward to visiting with you after the service, if that works as well. If not, I invite you to come and be refreshed with the good news of Jesus here again. Again, to God alone be the glory for our facility. May he continue to share his son faithfully as he has promised through our ministry and this building. I have a few announcements to share with you. The first has to do with the service this afternoon. Just again, be reminded that 4:30 is the proper start time for the service. And Debbie Avalalamont, who is coordinating the meal that will follow, has reminded me that there's still some additional help needed, especially getting things set out for the meal after the service. So that would mean leaving the service a little early to get over to bring some of the food out and to get that set up. She said that overall there's only 4 people who have signed up to help, and so that's including people who put the food out and help clean up the kitchen and help take down tables and things afterwards. So maybe just let Debbie Avalalamont know that you can help, or Mr. Bauer, who will take care of taking down. That way we'll just know that everything is covered. But there's plenty of food, and we will have our brothers and sisters from our sister congregations here, so please make an effort to come to worship this afternoon. That starts at 4:30. Also, on Tuesday, October 27th, we're going to have Brad Dacus come and speak with us. He is a lawyer at the Pacific Justice Institute, and we've been clarifying the purpose of this presentation. It is not a political venue. It is not a political event at all. Mr. Dacus is a Christian lawyer who will talk about some of the things that are going on in our culture, in our society, what kind of legal ramifications they have about you as a Christian. So October 27th is the opportunity to come and hear him. Also, we have slips of pink paper. They're on the back table, and a number of you have picked them up already. These are to help if you would like to give a financial donation to Gunnar and Marinda Lederman. We've been praying for them over the last couple of Sundays, and if you would like to help with a monetary gift, you can pick up one of these, and there's a website where you can make a direct donation. Or if you want St. Mark's to send it in for you, you can grab one of the special offering envelopes. Or Gunnar and Marinda's address, physical address, is on this pink piece of paper too. So take a look at that. There's also an announcement in the news that the hard copy and that was mailed out. If you want to follow Marinda's progress, there's a link to a website where you can go and see how she's going so you can remember her and Gunnar and our Ledermans in your prayers. So if these are all gone, let me know, and I'll make sure to get you one. Also, I have a few notes from the Refresh Committee just to give you a little bit of insight as into what was going on in their minds as they designed and carried out the Refresh project. A couple of these things we alluded to. There is the addition of the stone to the chancel furnishings, again, on the lectern, on the pulpit, and on the altar. And in particularly the altar, this not only refreshes the look of the furniture, but it also represents the Old Testament altars. That was something that Pastor Pope shared with us when he was out. The same combination of the stone and wood is repeated in the redwood and stone walls. That's these up here, which, and they also represent our local Northern California with the granite stone and with the redwood that is used in the walls. And it also represents the redwoods that you can see out the back window. You don't always get that view, but if you take a look, you can see that it represents the local scenery that we have, and then we use those to glorify God and to proclaim the gospel. So those are some of the thoughts that went into refurbishing and adding some stone up front. The newly cleaned and sealed pebble floors are representative of the coarse sandy beaches of California. The earth tones of the walls also enhance the natural feel of the wood, stone, and pebble. The neutral colors force the eye to the chancel, where the red stained glass cross represents the blood of Christ. The dove represents the Holy Spirit, and the gold rings represent our infinite God and Father. So you can see how your eye is drawn up to what really matters, and that is who Jesus is and the sacrifice that he made. So again, even the color scheme was intentional for that purpose. And then, of course, John 3:16, as it wraps around the sanctuary and the walls, it meets at the cross and dove to help us find the comfort and peace of that passage. Then there are also the 3 G's of our mission statement on the back wall, on the balcony wall, to remind us why St. Mark's exists and the beautiful things that God has for us to do as we go about living for him.
So that is just a little insight into what went on and some of the decisions that were made as part of the Refresh project. And then finally, if you have some Christmas china and you would be willing to lend that to the Advent by Candlelight Committee that is decorating, this year they want to decorate individual tables. And if you have some Christmas china that you are willing to let them use for that event, they would appreciate that. And Trish Peterson is the one to contact. There's also a notice about that in the weekly news. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out, and I look forward to greeting you on your way out.